You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for iOS, Windows, Android, Kindle, plus Mac or PC. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the journey!
I am excited about today's show because we have a topic that was submitted by one of our wonderful listeners, Gene Russell. He wants to know what happened when Voyager ended for us. Because he wrote us a letter via the Trek FM contact page and said once it was over for him, it was just a rough time and he just delved straight into the novels because he wanted more. And I could not agree more. But we'll talk about that in detail later. He wanted to know how we coped with the end of Voyager and the sudden disconnect that comes with the ending of a show. And that is basically losing a group of people whom you almost think of as friends. You talk about them as if they're real people, and suddenly they're not your friends anymore.
Well, you're wrong, Char. They'll always be our friends. But I
I think
this was the hardest separation for me. Like, well, when it started, I was in middle school, and then, you know, it kind of drew into high school a little bit too, and it's just like when this ended, I was just like, "Oh, okay, it's done." You know, like with with TNG, we were like, "Okay, well they're going to make movies, so at least we'll see them that way."
Right.
With Deep Space Nine, everything had such a finality to it. You're like, "Whew, that was a journey." Like okay, they had that really long arc in season 7. Okay, it's over.
Right.
We can wrap that up. It's done.
What a ride.
With Voyager, I know it may sound a little hypocritical because this was a literal end to their journey where their entire goal was to make it home and then they made it home. But everyone I've talked to has said, no, we need just a little bit more after that.
Definitely.
And I think a lot of people didn't connect with Enterprise. And so when Voyager was done, we're like, oh, that's the end of the timeline.
Yeah,
like,
that's it.
That's it. Like, as far as television is concerned, that was the end of the 24th century for us.
Yeah, it did feel like a sudden just break-off point. Like, oh, it's done.
yeah.
Wait a minute, I'm not done yet. I want more. That was kind of my knee-jerk reaction. Like, when I watched Endgame, when it aired in 2001, I remember watching it, and I'm looking at the clock, and I think the show had something like 15 minutes to go, and I'm thinking, there is no way they're wrapping this thing up and I'm going to be satisfied.
Yeah.
Because there was just not enough time, and I was absolutely right. Once the credits started rolling, I had my jaw on the floor like, oh, that's it?
If you look at all the other series finales, I mean, TOS didn't really have one, and TNG had arguably the best one, and as I said earlier, DS9 wrapped it up fairly well. We had Voyager, which we've talked about Endgame ad nauseum before. And
yeah.
Enterprise is absolutely 100% the worst series finale.
If you're counting that one episode, yeah.
Yeah, if you're counting the actual series finale that people... It's so bad that people don't want to talk about it and don't count it as the series finale.
Right, it's the Voldemort of Star Trek.
Yes, don't say its name.
No.
And with TNG, I think one of the reasons why it ended so well is because they're still out there. You know, like regardless of the movies, like, let's take the movies out of the situation. They're still going on. They're still boldly going where no man has gone before. Excuse me, no one has gone before. And
yeah.
It was nice because it ended at the poker table, which we've all been at so many times through the 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the final shot was the Enterprise going into a nebula, just the beauty shot, you know. And with Voyager, it was done, but there was still more story to tell.
Absol-freaking-lutely. It's just like they cut us off midway, and what do you mean we're not going to see the rest? We had to wait for the novels. I believe Homecoming didn't come out until 2003. So we had to wait 2 years just to find out what happens when they finally return to Earth? Really? Are you kidding me?
And then you get into the whole argument, well, you know, that's just one person's vision. You know, it's
right. It's not even canon. The novels aren't canon, so do they really count anyway? And I guess the only thing that really is for certain canon that we know about is, of course, seeing Admiral Janeway in Nemesis.
Exactly.
That's it? That's all we
got? That's it. That's all we got. Ugh. That is all we get canon-wise of post-Voyager is, you know, Janeway has become a one-star admiral. This, what we're talking about is all just preface to the real, you know, crux of the conversation, because what we're focusing on, or what we need to focus on, is how we felt when our friends left us. Not just, oh, we want more story, we want to know how it happened. We have to think about how we coped. And one of the ways we coped is the novels. Like you said, Homecoming and The Farther Shore, which were very good novels. But I think me was just rewatch. Like, I just kept watching the episodes. I did not stop. They were still in the Delta Quadrant for me. As I said before, I've recorded these on tape, and they were all kind of out of order. And so I had my own shuffle where I would just...
Nice.
I would just put in a random tape, and I would get an episode from season 2, season 6, and then season 3, you know, and it was just really cool.
Oh, that's awesome. Just a grab bag.
Yeah, it really was. And so that was my way of coping, was just spending time with my friends.
Wow. Okay, I had a very different reaction. Endgame, to me, felt like a really bad breakup.
Mm.
Like, I was really into it, and I just thought, this is going to go on forever, right? And then Endgame happens, and then all of a sudden, it's just like, oh, this is no longer in my life anymore, and it's over. And yeah. It ended horribly, in my opinion. Well, this is crap. So what I ultimately did is I kind of just put Trek to the wayside for a little while and focused on other things. I was in college, so I was getting really into school. I was playing hockey. I was doing all sorts of different stuff. And so for a while, I had the mute button on Star Trek. Now, granted, I still went to go see Nemesis and all that, but I was just not nearly as into it as I had been during Voyager's run. Because, like, for you, yeah, I grew up with Voyager. I came of age while Voyager was on. And it has a very different nostalgic factor for me than any of the other series for that very reason.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think I've ever taken the mute button to Star Trek. But there has been peaks and valleys. And like before I got married, I mean, I marathoned hard all the time and constantly.
Yeah,
Yeah, but we all know when you get married, you know, your free time gets cut by 3/4. So
sure.
All right, let me rephrase that for those of you not married. Your free time doesn't get cut in half by 3/4. It gets taken up by other things by 3/4.
Right. Oftentimes with your partner doing things together, and if your partner is not into watching Star Trek with you, well, then you got to do something else.
Now, the thing is, though, I'm trying to think. I feel like Endgame is an episode that gets better with age. I really do. I like it the more I watch it, and I like it the more I think about it. Now, I'm not saying it's a good episode. I'm not saying that it was the way the series should have ended, but I definitely am able to put certain things aside as I watch it, and I can enjoy the story. And I know I'm in the minority here, but...
I don't think I saw the same version that you did.
Oh, that's right. I re-edited my version to take out Chakotay and Seven, so that's maybe why I like it more.
That's not in my canon either. That did not happen. I closed my eyes during those scenes.
There are so many times that I feel like Barkley, because... Seriously, like, I don't like Barkley, but... There is one thing that he got right. In his spare time, and when he goes home and how he goes to sleep, is on the USS Voyager with the Voyager crew. And we all know that if we had that option, we would. Now, not necessarily USS Voyager for some of you listeners, but for the Enterprise, you know, Deep Space Nine, you know, we'd all, you know, browse the promenade before we'd go to our quarters, or we'd all like run around the arboretum on the D, you know, everything. Like, we would do that if we had a holodeck.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. I like where you're going with this. I almost thought you were going to go in the line of being socially awkward like Barclay, which, okay, for some of us, maybe that is true. But no, yes, we relate to our favorite crew as friends, and we would interact with them if we could as if we served with them alongside on the ship or on the station, whatever.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, like, the years that I started with this show were very influential for me, and I was very, impressionable. And so,
same here.
Middle school is the worst time to be alive. And
yeah, it really is.
There's so many times you just need a release, and you need, you know, an outlet. And for a lot of us, you know, a lot of us geeks and a lot of us nerds, we don't have a lot of friends, or when we do, they're just not people that we can relate to. And there's so many times that people like us who have our noses in books or in cinema or in good television, we relate better to fictional characters than we do people in real life. Now, I'm not saying this is beneficial. I'm not championing. I'm not saying this is what you should do. I'm just saying this is how it is. And this is how it was for me.
Oh, yeah, me too. Totally. Because we came of age in a day where being a nerd was not quite as in vogue as it is now. It's kind of trendy to be a geek or a nerd now. It's much more accepted thanks to things like Big Bang Theory and whatnot. But I remember it's sort of like coming out of the closet. You come out as a Star Trek fan when you're in middle school and all of your friends, your so-called friends, are making fun of you because you love Star Trek so much. But instead of kind of the effect that they wanted to have on me, which was to get me to hate Star Trek so I wouldn't watch Star Trek anymore and be such a nerd, that became my escapism. I delved into it even more.
Yeah.
I watched those tapes like crazy. I would talk to the friends who were willing to listen about the Star Trek Voyager characters as if they really were my friends. You know, I would recap an episode for them, and then B'Elanna does this, but then Janeway's mad, and so then she and Chakotay have to talk about it, and you know.
It's true. We do talk about them like they're real people, and I seriously felt like they were real people, because like you said, we'd go home and have escapism. I would spend time with my friends, as in watch Voyager, and I know that sounds sad to a lot of people, and other people who it doesn't sound sad to, they understand it. I mean, Tom taught me how to ask out the ladies. B'Elanna taught me how to stand up for myself. Neelix taught me how to cook. And Janeway taught me how to just barrel through the wall through a problem instead of trying to solve it.
And drink coffee.
And Chakotay taught me how to listen, you know? And it's just all these things. These were the people that I spent time with by putting in a tape and then just letting it wash over me. And I would lay in bed and read the novels. I would listen to the audiobooks. And this was well before, you know, like, you know, iPods or anything like that. And so I would record the episodes or like my favorite segments onto an old, old tape player and then listen to that as I'd go to school, you know? And
oh God, I did this too. I would record the Trek music. You know that little overture that plays before the motion picture? I probably still have a cassette somewhere of that because I recorded it and I told my little sister, who I was babysitting at the time, you have to be really quiet and still. We can't have any noise on this.
Yeah, because you didn't quite learn how to do the line in where you could plug in the headphones.
Yeah, I didn't know
jack,
how to do that at the time, no.
Yeah, and a lot of recorders didn't have that. I mean, a lot of players didn't have that, but when you... Like, you had that handheld voice recorder that you would just put up to the speaker.
Yeah, no, it was just like a little boombox, and I was holding it really still and steadily.
Yeah. And then, like, I remember I would tell my, like, I remember when I would record episodes at a time just so I could listen to it as I went forward, I would tell my parents, okay, don't go downstairs. I'm doing something. and of course, they would look at me like, what are you doing downstairs?
With a teenage boy, who knows?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. But and see, that's the sad thing, is that I wasn't actually doing anything fun. I was like that could get me in trouble.
Darn you, Tristan, you should have been getting into trouble. I know. Their suspicions aroused. Oh, well. You know, all these little things Gosh, you're bringing up so many memories. I'm getting all nostalgic here. I used to go videotape Voyager and DS9 when they were running concurrently on my grandparents' VCR until I got a VCR of my own, because my parents' VCR was just stupid, and it didn't take the programming, and it was just much easier to use my grandparents', and so I would go there, and I would tell my grandpa, keep that tape in.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, please keep that tape in. I'm recording something.
And if you take it out, or if you even breathe on it wrong, the program's going to be erased, and then it's not going to record.
Yeah, and I knew the precise time on the clock that it had to start, so I didn't miss anything, but I didn't have minutes of commercials. And I mean, you know,
exactly.
I had it down to a science. Yeah, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, this was a part of my life. Yeah, and especially when you are so impressionable at this age. Yeah, you take the very best of what you can get of these characters. They teach you how to be.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I learned a lot from everybody, but especially Janeway. She was definitely a role model. And at the time, I didn't even realize just how much. It's only looking back how much I realized, oh my gosh, I wanted to be her.
Yeah.
She was awesome. I wanted to punch my way through on things. And yes, I did want to drink coffee because of Captain Janeway. Is it a coincidence that I worked at a coffee shop just after high school when I was 18? I don't think so. I think that was just completely meant to be. Yeah, it's amazing how this shapes your life. After my mute period, which lasted for only a couple of years, I would have the spikes and valleys, as you said earlier, where I would really get into Star Trek again and I would maybe watch all of the movies. Or something like that. Or put in some episodes and watch them. And it's sort of like, you know, just recounting it all and reliving what you were experiencing when it first aired or when you first saw it. And all those feelings come back and you feel good. It's nostalgic. It's good feelings. And this kind of happened to me again. I met my husband in 2005 and really just kind of laid low on Star Trek when we first got together because he wasn't into it. And so we were doing a lot of us time. But as we kind of settled down into more, you know, individualistic routines, he has his nerddom, I have mine, I started watching Star Trek again in 2010. And the resurgence has not left me. I don't suspect it's going to either. And I just started reliving it all, started watching all the episodes again, you know, reading the fan fiction. Just a rare. And just, yeah, then the whole thing with podcasting, all of this. It's still shaping us to this day.
Yeah, I think this was probably the biggest revival of Voyager that I've had in my recent experience is this show. Before that, though, I used to marathon all the time. Like when I lived in Chinatown with a buddy of mine, I'd fall asleep every night to multiple Star Trek episodes. And
oh, that's awesome.
I would go in order, you know, like I'd start with TOS and then end with Enterprise. And then I would just start over. I would just do that. You know, and so, you know, with if you do a couple, like if you do like three episodes a night, which was easy, especially
since,
you know, it was just me, you know, you'd get that done in, you know, 6 months. When I moved out of Chinatown and got a job in the suburbs, I was a glorified graphic designer. And so I could have the episodes just going on in the corner of my screen, you know, as I'm working. And now I can't do that because I have producer at the end of my title. So it means I actually have to do work. But.
Oh,
I know it's
bummer.
Really so I can't do that anymore. But yeah, I think like this show was probably the biggest resurgence of Voyager since I got married. So we got to talk about my friends again.
Yeah. And it's like you get reacquainted with them all over again. And I'm sure the same thing happened to you. I just fell in love all over again, too, especially with Voyager.
Yeah, I feel like this also made me fall in love with the novels again, because we constantly talk about them. You know, we
take a drink.
Yeah, because we don't just talk about Voyager, we analyze Voyager now doing a podcast. And so I feel like one way that I have coped, not just doing the rewatch, but you know, I would read the novels like you, but you know, like with my commute and with the digital revolution, I'm able to keep all of the novels in audiobook form and ebook form, you know, with me at all times. And so I'll play Caretaker and Mosaic and Pathways and Homecoming and The Farther Shore. I'll keep them with me. And you know, I have them at all times. And also, you know, some of them are read by Kate Mulgrew and some by Robert Picardo. And it just reminded me of the days when I was a kid when I should have been outside with friends. I'd lay in bed and I'd read the book along with the audiobook.
Oh, nice.
You know, like, of Robert Picardo, and then see, like, oh, this isn't really unabridged. You know, like, and so I get so excited when an actual Star Trek alum reads a Star Trek audiobook.
It's so cool.
Yeah, it's great. Like, I think most, like, George Takei did a lot in the past for TOS books, and Leonard Nimoy did a few. And then even Jonathan Frakes did a few here and there.
Yes, he sure did. He narrated Imazati, which was my first audiobook.
Oh, that's right. I didn't think he was very good
at it. Don't tell my 10-year-old self that. I thought he was fantastic.
I love Jonathan Frakes, and he's my, like, Riker's my favorite character in Star Trek, so I'm not knocking him. But
yeah,
when you compare him to Robert Picardo, holy crap. The man is an amazing narrator.
He is. Picardo's just awesome, period.
Yeah, it's just, I think it was just, it's not fair for someone to be that talented in so many different things.
Well, it is for us because we got to see him for 7 years on Voyager.
That's true. That's true.
And he narrated Pathways. So it's a total win for us. It's a complete disaster for anybody else who has to measure up to that.
So just a quick recap, like the way that we coped with it was denial that certain aspects of Endgame happened.
Yeah, definitely.
And just complete marathons and rewatch, just like consuming it over and over again, because you and I recorded the tapes, so we didn't have to wait for the DVDs or Netflix. And then another way was through the novels and audiobooks. It was just complete immersion is how, and to answer Gene Russell's question, it was just complete immersion.
Yeah, so in a way, we didn't really let go. I guess I kind of had a latent Star Trek period here and there, but it definitely came back stronger than ever every time that it did. Now, I've got a question for you. With the novels that were released after the show ended, did you buy them as they came out, as the years went by, or did you kind of do what I did and read them a little more recently?
I think what I did was I bought them when they first came out, because when those came out, it was my junior year of high school. And my, you know, as we all know, sometimes the junior year is the hardest year of high school. And then I went straight into college. And so from the end of high school and then college, my reading list was just stacked, as, you know, from floor to ceiling. Mm-hmm. And I think it wasn't until out of college that I actually sat down and read them. So I did purchase them when they first came out.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. I did not read them as the years went by. Like, I did not actually purchase Homecoming until last year. I think a lot of the reason was is, yes, I had that latent area here and there of Star Trek mute button. But then on top of that, I was in college. I could not do any leisure reading. Are you kidding me? I was just trying to keep up with my textbooks. So it wasn't until very recently that I started going back. And now I've read all the novels, but it didn't happen until just last year.
I think you and I took our college seriously, so we didn't actually have any leisure time.
Kind of. You might have been a little more serious than me. I took my time, but I was also working full time, so that kind of...
Oh, yeah. I was not. So. But I haven't gone past the Farther Shore. I've read Homecoming. I've read The Farther Shore, and so I haven't gone past that because I didn't really like The Farther Shore that much.
I didn't either, but it gets better, and you need to keep reading Kirsten Byers novels, because, not to discredit anybody else who's written the Voyager novels, like, I really did enjoy Homecoming with Christy Golden. Is that her name?
I think so. Yes.
Okay, but Kirsten Byers just knocks it out of the park. She really does. She knows Voyager so well, inside and out, and she shapes these characters into something completely different than anybody else, and that is a good thing.
So Kirsten Byers was not the same person who wrote Homecoming and The Farther Shore, is that right?
Correct.
Ah,
I believe
okay.
Kirsten Byers... I want to say that her first Voyager story was in 2005 on the Distant Shores Anthology, which is several short stories. that celebrate the 10th year of Voyager's mission start. And then after that, though, she started writing full-length novels, and I think she has single-handedly taken it from there.
I have such a hard time figuring out what is what with the novels. Like, I don't know where to start and where to go next. I don't know what timeline to, like, whenever it's a relaunch series, like the DS9 ones, I don't know where to start. And like I'm, as we're talking right now, I'm doing some research, and Christy Golden kept writing Voyager books, and so there's the Spirit Walk series that has Old Wounds and then Enemy of My Enemy. So do I read those before I get into Kirsten Beyer, or, you know, what the hell do I do?
My recommendation is this. I would not worry about Christy Golden's books. Sorry, no offense at all. Just jump into Kirsten Beyer's universe, because she writes Voyager right. And you do need to start with her first book, because it's an ongoing thing. And if you jump in, you might miss a couple of things that don't make quite so much sense if you're not aware of them. And definitely read Full Circle. Okay. And then keep going from there. And then you are going to, until January, be caught up with The Eternal Tide, which I highly recommend.
So I've read Homecoming and I've read The Further Shore, so I can go straight into Full Circle and not miss anything?
I think so, yeah. Because those are, like, everything else is a little more self-contained. And once Kirsten Beyer starts writing things, it's much more her arc. And everything else prior to that, yes, it matters, but you don't have to read the entire novel to really get the whole gist of what's happened since Voyager got home.
Okay.
That's my recommendation. Read Kirsten Beyer, because she is awesome.
All right, well, I will do that then. I will start with Full Circle, and I can always go back and read the Spirit Walk series.
Absolutely. And if you ever want to talk to Mr. Rushing, who hosts Literary Treks with Chris, this guy knows everything about the novelverse. And
I was going to say, I mean, I have that resource. Him. Yeah, so I could if I need to.
Yeah, you could definitely tap him for some knowledge. But authors are not the only thing that we talk about on Trek FM. We actually discuss a whole myriad of things every week that happen in the Trek universe. And here's just a little glimpse of what you might have missed this last week.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
TOS Remastered with Dave Rossi.
We took one day and we all went down in front of a green screen. I had a Captain Kirk shirt on. I don't remember where I got it from. Oh, yes, I do. My closet.
Earl Grey.
Ensign Row Commentary.
Here we have someone who is kind of bucking authority and is kind of trying to go against the grain, but she does it in a way that shows that she has some sort of depth of character.
The Orb.
His Way Commentary.
I love that he says, what does fun have to do with Major Kira? And James Darren's
I know,
like,
I love that.
What do you mean, what is fun? Come on.
Facepalm.
Yeah, exactly.
The Ready Room.
The Catwalk.
But this was a really, his trainer, Scott Rowe, was talking about in the interview I did with him back in the day, how this was a hard show because normally when they had Porthos, it was Scott and Porthos working. And maybe one other character, two other characters. And these, if you watch how Porthos was in this show, they kind of had him in the quarters with Scott, and I watched most of the show. I didn't see the last degree of it. But most of the time, they would do stuff with him, like peeking out of a bulkhead and all that.
To the journey!
USS Voyager.
If it was, like, really blooming with color, you're like, oh, they're going really fast, or something's happening. Like, you could...
Yeah, excitement!
Like, it was instantly... yeah, you instantly knew exactly what was going on.
And if Q Jr. is on board, it becomes a disco.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
Harlan Ellison.
Harlan Ellison is a crazy person, because only a crazy person could come up with such an amazing name for a sci-fi drug. Come on, that's so much better than bath salts. Why don't we call them the Jewels of Sound?
Warp 5.
Trip Tucker.
You know, they're not really career Starfleet people, even though Trip has had a career in Starfleet. He's an engineer, you know, and that's what he does, and that's what he loves. And so all this other stuff's really new to him.
Literary Treks.
The Best of Klingons.
We haven't talked about yet, Chris, but there is one Klingon in here that is not like the other.
That's right. One of these Klingons is not like the other.
One of these Klingons doesn't belong. One of these Klingons is a friend of the Federation. One of these Klingons and Bryce will get along. Wow, this show has gone off the rails.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check all of these shows out, because you will definitely get your Trek Talk fix every single day. We have new shows coming out every single day now, sometimes more than one. And we are on basically any platform that you can possibly have. And if you want to just go to our website, you can go to trek.fm/pd for podcast directory. You can listen to them directly and stream them there if you like. We're definitely accessible. Check it all out and reimmerse yourself in Star Trek, as Tristan and I both have over the years. And before we go, let's have a quick word from our sponsor.
Our sponsor for this show is Audible.com. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks, with more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, Audible has something for everyone. You'll be happy to hear that both Mosaic and Pathways are available from Audible. As a Trek.fm listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice, along with a 30-day trial to see just how great Audible is. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm. And we thank you and Audible for supporting To the Journey and Trek.fm.
Next week, I think we're going to have a fantastic show in store for you, because we are going to do one of our favorite things, which is to make a list, and we are going to do our 5 episodes that we would marathon for season 1. So until next week, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!